I'll tell you something I love about being in France, in addition to some seriously delicious butter, and that is the wide selection of wines I can find in France for low prices. It can be much more difficult to source those same bottles back in the States, and that's why I love to buy wines out of France with Ideal Wine. I have bottles shipped to me, hassle-free. It's easy. Ideal Wine has a new auction every week and is a great source for iconic names like Ouette, Louis Roeder, and Domaine Lefleuve, as well as rising stars like Arnaud Lachaud, Gonon, and Tissot. Find the wines you'd rather be drinking at idealwine.com. That's IDEALWINE.com and have the wine shipped to you in the States. Use the promo code FIRST, FIRST, for $15 off your first order of $150 or more. Hey, that's $15 you could save, and that is some good butter money. See for yourself at Ideal Wine.
I'll Drink to That, where we get behind the scenes of the beverage business. I'm Levy Dalton.
I'm Erin Scala.
And here's our show today. Samuel Tinon of the Tinon Winery in Tokaj, Hungary. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm fine.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be in New York. It's my first time, and I'm very happy.
Welcome to the United States. So you were born in Bordeaux?
Yes, born in Bordeaux in 69. Wine-producing family in Saint-Croix-du-Mont. And my sister run today the estates. And we are a sweet wine producer in Bordeaux, in Saint-Croix-du-Mont. So I'm quite very comfortable on Botrytis wine.
Yeah, so you had a history in making Botrytis wine from the family.
Mm-hmm.
And did you go to viticulture school in France?
Yes, I studied in Bordeaux and then in Montpellier, and I get my study done. And then I moved to Spain for a year. And then I moved to Chile. Because my intention was to move to Chile, because it's quite a paradise to make wine over there. And since I was a child, that was something very important for me, that finish my study and go to Chile. And then I start an harvest over there. And in France at that time, we had to do 1 year in the army in France. And then it was a possibility to make a cooperation. And then I tried to make all the thing to go to Chile for 2 years. And the French administration was refusing the paperwork. So I had to go back to France. And the people I was working with in Chile offered me to try the same, but in Tokaj, in Hungary. So to be honest, I didn't knew nothing about Tokaj. I didn't know that I knew the name, but even I didn't know that it's made out of Botrytis. And then I just jumped in at the right time. I was the first French before privatization, before many things happened in Tokaj. It was in 91, and it was just after the Soviet army left the country in September. And I arrived in October. So that was just the right time. And more or less, that's the basics. Why Tokaj, and why I put my finger on that story.
And you had been doing some consulting in other parts of the world, like in the United States and in Italy.
Yes, saying when I get my job in Tokaj, I work for a company during 3 years, 3-4 years. And then I resigned, and I was already starting making some kind of vinification during my holidays in Australia, taking holiday from Hungary in deep winter, going to Australia for a month. It was not
good idea. Yeah.
then finishing this work, I didn't know where and how, and I get a consultancy contract with Oremus, with Tokaj Oremus. And then with this, I had the structure to start consultancy, and I came to Texas. I was in South Africa. I was in most of the country in Central Europe. I was in Ukraine, in Moldova, in Crimea, in Russia. You know, like somehow a fireman. I was not a consultant to give recipes. It was more something that we are just before the harvest. We don't have winemaker. Could you come? That, more or less, that was this type of work. And in Tokaj, with Orimus, it was quite a big work to design a winery and to build the winery and to really give the structure of the company to be on a good level. And then when I finished this contract with Orimus, it was in 2000, it was a choice as I had a house with a cellar, empty cellar, but how to follow with Tokaj, because and then I was making business plan, buying lands or buying tractor, buying grapes, or no one's was a good one because I didn't have any money. So I arrived at the point that I have to sell the wine first, and from that money I can buy the grapes. So in 2000, I was selling en primeur quite a nice amount of wine for some friends all around who sent me some nice money saying, okay, Sam, you are starting your own wine. We are buying your wine. We don't care what you want. You have to be good. And whenever you want. So they were just following me, just do it. And that was the first ASU 2000. That's I was doing that for 2000, 2001, 2003. And then in 2004, I had already some wine remaining that I could start selling directly. And now I'm working with 5 hectare of vineyard. I'm selling in 10, 15 countries, mainly Europe. It's more easier to do the testing, to know the people, it's much more easier. But also in Korea, in Brazil, and today I'm here. That's I'm just following my wine. It's that Blue Danube company was already importing other producer, good producer in Tokaj, and they were thinking for one specific wine that's called the Dry Samordny. And to be honest, this wine is that I'm the producer, and with all the respect, is the wine who is driving my life. It's not, I'm very happy with that, but just a week in here, I'm just, everybody's just, what kind of wine is this?
What is that wine? How is it made, and what are the grape varieties, and where is it grown?
Grape varieties, it's ferment. In Tokaj, we have ferment, harsh lavalu, Zeta and Muscat, but more than 60-65% of the plant in Tokaj are made with ferment. So I'm quite working 90% ferment, just a little bit of harsh lavalu. And this one is quite, for me, it's quite very, very important in Tokaj, because I understand Tokaj, the center of Tokaj is a specific situation of a berries attacked with botrytis and dried. And that more or less makes a connection with the sweet wine in Bordeaux. And is that why Tokaj is famous? Sweet wine, ASU wine. But to produce this wine, we have to pick the berries when they are ready. And due to weather change, due to whatever happened, we cannot all the time pick the berries one by one. And sometimes we are just selecting part of the branches. So at the beginning, I was just buying ASU berries and just focus on sweet wine. But step by step, when you are making a selection, you can make a high selection, but sometimes you have a lower selection. If I speak in potential of alcohol in must before fermentation, the ASU start from 20, and 20, 21, 22. You have the sweet Samorny between 18 and 20, and you have a wine that is below 18, 18, 17, 16, even 15, that cannot be told as a dry wine because it's too high in alcohol. Sometimes you have remaining sugar and it's not really a pleasant wine to drink. But with the conception of dry Samorny, you can have this wine fermenting until 16 or 17. And then you age this wine on a wet cellar and you have a decrease of alcohol. Quite very important because it can be half degrees every year. So after 4, 5, 6 years in the cellar, your result is something that is between 13 and 14 in alcohol. So it's quite very nice. And on the top of the wine, you have a yeast growing, like we can find in Jerez in for the Fino, or in Jura for the Vin Jaune. And that's very natural. That's very...
It happens naturally.
That's happened naturally, and it's very well known in the past. And what happened that in 2001, it was a very difficult vintage, and I had two barrels that they were not so good. So in the spring 2003, after testing notes, I was saying, these two barrels are gone. We just have to throw it, and it's done. And for some reason, we didn't empty the barrels in spring, and just before harvest, I was just thinking for space for the new harvest. And these two barrels was there. And then I detect that, oh, that's a Vin Jaune. You have all the characteristics. I say, something. I didn't know that from my own cellar, I couldn't have my own floor without thinking for. It just happened naturally. So that's how it happened. But coming from Bordeaux is not a wine that we know very well. I'm born in the Beaujolais, but not in the floor area. I'm not coming from Jura. I was in Spain many times, but so I decided to say, oh, it's okay, but I have to learn how to deal with that. How they are doing? So I traveled to Jura, I taste wine. I was in a wine competition. I was very well introduced in the Jura area. So I decided to make a trial from the 2003, saying I have to learn, so I have to make a bigger quantity to be sure to have some kind of result. And I was doing many, many trials, like full barrel, half barrel, barrel with a silicone on the top to be sure that there will be no oxygen. And then I was opening a barrel every year and just starting to learn and to... And the result is was bottled first in 2009. And then I start to understand what I was doing, because detecting the characteristic of the floor, it was easy. You know, when you have it in the glass, you say, wow. But that's all. And starting the try, I was showing some wine to some people, always was, wow. But until you didn't bottle the wine, you know, they are close friends, they are coming, but it's not really for sale already. There is no matter to sell on Primeur or whatever. It's just work going on, and I was quite very busy to introduce all the other wines, the Assou and Assou, Assou Essentia, all the other wine. And with the time, I bottled it and then made the label and started to travel with this wine. And then that was a tasting in Barcelona with the Japanese sommelier, and say, oh, that's something... It's working totally differently than I do with the other wine. Usually the other wine, or all my wine are very classical, and sweet Samoni, Assou, Assou Essentia, it's something that is very classical. You it's really fitting on your imagination of what could be Tokaj. If you already taste Tokaj sometime, when you see my wine, it's just very classical. But with this wine, there are only few people who know that's existing in Tokaj, and only, more or less only the people who traveled to Tokaj knew 20 years ago. Because if you travel now in Tokaj, it's not usual that the people show this wine. But 20 years ago, I remember arriving over there, it was always finishing the tasting with a dry Samoni. That was very classical.
With the veil.
More or less, that was the context in 2009. And after, it's wine that I don't take a plane to sell this wine. My intention with this wine is the wine I have to attract his own interest. And I have to do my job as a producer just to follow him. And to, if I'm here, it's because of this wine. Blue Danube was contacting me for this wine. So after, as any producer, if somebody want to buy my wine, I have to say yes. And more or less, that's today's situation.
What are the characteristics of the ferment grape variety? How should I understand that as a grape?
Ferment, if we see the comparison, maybe from France, is something can compare with the Chenin in Loire. It's not really aromatic. It's quite a very strong in tannin content. So that's more or less the variety. But within the ferment, we have very different type of grapes. They are not so long, but we have an apro ferment who is with a very, very small berries. We have a Valtoso ferment who can change depending on the year. José Vuillamos from Switzerland, in his book, he was doing the genetic, and there is a relation between ferment and hash navadu, but it's missing one of the parents in each. So the meat of Tokaj is still in life. That's saying ferment is 100% from Tokaj. That's the main variety of Tokaj, but it's a very good variety for botrytis. It's very unusual when we have the botrytis going in the bad direction. So as a botrytis producer, it's a trusty variety. That's the hash navadu in comparison. You can have a botrytis out of 10 years, maybe 2 or 3. The ferment, if you have the right climate, that's not depending on the variety, but if you have the right climate and right rain, it's more or less 100%, you will get botrytis, and it will be quality botrytis. So it's really easy to understand why the ferment is the main variety in Tokaj, and that's more or less the characteristic I see in this variety.
So there are several different districts in the Tokaj zone. What is the characteristic of your zone, your village?
Olasliska is quite really in the center of Tokaj. Tokaj is it looks like a triangular. With in the south, you have the Tokaj mountain, which is a volcano. And the two other points of the triangular are Chateau Rayawihe and Abawi Santo. And if you see a map, Olasliska is quite in the center. We are next to Tolchva and Erdebenye. And the village of Olasliska is right on the side of the river called Bodrog. We have two rivers, the Tisa coming from Romania and Ukraine, and the Bodrog is coming from Slovakia. And between the two rivers, we have a wetland, and that gives us the humidity for the botrytis. And Olasliska have half of the municipality is on the wetland and on the national park. And the other part is farming land. And after, we have the slope with the vineyard. And on the top of the vineyard, we have the oak tree that we are doing barrels out of that. So it's one of the characteristics we have in Tokaj, that we produce wine and the barrel from the same volcanoes.
That's highly unusual.
Yeah. And it's quite very comfortable to have your barrel maker just on the next village. So it's a very pleasant job that we're not importing something from Prague. And there is a lot of work to do together. And that's very interesting. And we know that the wood in the Tokaj area, in the Zemplin forest, in a very good quality. We know that from the French barrel makers. They are buying wood from the forest. So that's more or less the characteristic of the village. We have around 600 hectares. Out of the 5,000 hectares, so more or less it's 10% of the appellation.
So volcanic soil in your area, of course, it's topped with clay or loess or something else, but it's volcanic underneath, and volcanic soil is fairly unusual in France. What was it like working with volcanic soil in a different country?
The origin of the volcano were coming from the bottom of the Pannonian Sea. And as a result, it's a very, very complex and diverse terroir. In somehow, the complexity, you can understand that it's very rich. But today, as my understanding are today, is so complex that the producer have to learn what they have and how they can work on that. Because it's easy to understand that before the communism or during the communism, there were no focus on the differences between one plot to another plot because they were more or less blending all together. So that was the main problem. So in other terms, we have a maximum of 22 harvest of experiencing. If you take in consideration that Tokaj have a reputation of potential of aging, trying to understand wine that is not a wine to be drinking 1 year or 2 years, and trying to understand what is the potential of one specific vineyard or one specific soil is quite very complex. But the work is on. In the last, I can say, in the last 10 years, there were many, many works done on that, but not on the dry summer only. Because on the dry summer only, I have in my cellar dry summer only barrels that are made from different plots. But I don't know, maybe altogether there are less than 10 people who can make the differences, connect with the terroir. So it's I cannot start making explanation of what is what. For the ferment, as a dry wine without aging or very short aging as normal winemaking, picking without botrytis is a bit different. So the work on the ferment start more or less 10 years ago. And now we can have an offer from Tokaj with a different name and different name and different producer from the same name, saying that from the Saint-Amache, for example, there are 10, 15 producers working more or less with something that it's very defined and we know where is it. And then we can see the connection between producer. And for me, I start a production of ferment recently with the idea to try to understand and highlight different part of Tokaj. Because what we have actually in Tokaj, that's all the winemaker hand are a bit strong comparing to the terroir. We don't have a winemaking school in Tokaj that like you can have in Bordeaux, in Burgundy or in Champagne that gave the mainstream of winemaking. Today in Tokaj you find winemakers who are coming with very, very different experience. They can come from France, but they can come from Spain or from Slovakia or from Germany, from Austria, from all around, and with different understanding of what is a good job and what how to work. So last week was a French wine tester that we were on an open speak. He was saying, "Well, yes, but today there is some kind of that." We have the feeling as a consumer that all the wine are very similar. I can assure you that if you start testing Tokaj wine, it's not the situation, and we are not working against that. It's more or less we have too much diversity, and that's what's going on in Tokaj actually. So that's very exciting, and the work to understand the terroir and the name is something that it will take a lot of time, but it's on, and it can be test the result and. Aging potential, we will see. That nobody knows. So people all the week long were asking me, "Oh, but this wine is what kind of potential of aging?" Say, so, I don't know. I have no idea. For that is a work, and the wine is just to drink and to try to have an interest on what's going on in Tokaj. So dry summer only is totally different. We are more sure that it's a very nice potential of aging. A year ago, I organized a vertical tasting from the State Farm stock, and we are going back to 51 vintage. No problem and no doubts.
And what's the State Farm? That was the group that was vinifying things under the communists?
Yes, until the change in 91, there were a monopoly, or 90% monopoly, with a State Farm that was built and consolidated with integration of cooperative, and it was different state on the 60s, on the 70s, and on the 80s. And when we arrived over there, it was more or less a monopoly, and with the intention of making a privatization. Is that how the investor came from France, from Spain, from Germany? That was more or less the starting point of the area. And today we still have a state-owned company, but we have more than 200 small producers with their own label, with their own ambition, their own land, and as a all the 200, you can understand that there are wine producers at any, like in Burgundy or in Bordeaux or whatever. It's just that the difference is most of the 200 are new producers. There are only I would say less than 50 who are coming from the area and just following and developing. Most of the people who are producing good wine in Tokaj now, Usually they come from the city with money or without money. That we have all the range, small money or big money. And then they start, and usually they start with a piece of land and make the first wine. And then after it's just like everybody else. So a big diversity and a lot of interesting wine. 3 weeks ago, we had a wine tasting between producers. We try to organize always in January or February, just to have a kind of sharing info of the last vintage. And that was very surprising that from 2013, that is a very good year for producing sweet wine and Assou. We had a lot of Assou berries last year and was very welcome. But between us, we were just showing dry wine. So that was everybody, it was maybe 80 or 90% of the sample. The rule were each producer can come with only 2 bottles. And then we were tasting a lot of wine in all afternoon. But it was just at the end that we had the sweet. I remember in 2000, we had, or beginning of 2001, we had exactly the same organization, not the same producer, but maybe 1/3 were there, and it was 90% sweet wine. Everybody was very proud to show the sweet. Now with the sweet, more or less we have the knowledge. It was an easy vintage, so sharing what we are doing was less interesting. What was interesting is when you pick the grapes. Did you pick in middle of September, 20 September? Beginning of October, middle of October, what kind of alcohol you have on, what kind of acidity, which plot is. And then we can share before bottling or just to have the more information. So that's what's going on in Tokaj actually.
The first dry ferment that I came across from Hungary was the Kerlivedar under Esfand Jepsi. Was he an influence on other producers to make dry Tokaj, or were there other people also moving in that direction at the same time?
It's something that 20 years ago, everybody was over-focused on Assou berries. Considering that the value is there, and the ferment is something that is table wine, there is no point to make a so huge investment to produce table wine. Otherwise, you go in another country. And that was, I can say, maybe an over-focus. But to understand what was going on at the beginning of the 2000s, Esfand Jepsi is a person that is a bit unique on his work. I was working with him at the beginning at the Royal Tokaj, and we quite often share opinion, but he's quite very unique on his situation. But there were many people starting from 2000, 2001, 2002, without intention of exporting wine, without the intention of producing the great Tokaj. Their intention was to have a piece of land and to produce wine. And if I try to see the differences between producing wine in France and producing wine in Hungary, in France we have producers, they are professional, and we have consumers, and they are professionals to consume the wine. But only a few people want to jump from one to another. In Hungary, it's not the situation. In Hungary, we have 22 different wine areas. But I can assure you that most of the people in Hungary, their dream is to produce wine. It can be a one barrel just for private consumption if you don't have any money and it's just in your garden. Or it can be a chateau on an estate. If you own a lot of money, then you can afford to have a big investment. But that's it's very deep. The identity of producing wine in Hungary is very, very deep and very, very common. So after the 2000, as the country was joining the EU, there were most wealthy people. The idea to go out of the city, to go back to the countryside. There were many people that they were saying, okay, we're not interested to have a business plan and we don't want to buy grapes. We don't want to... We're here just because it's a very nice piece of land. We are proud of our country. We are proud of Tokaj. And we just want to have some decent wine. Usually the decent wine is much, much more easier to start with a dry wine. If you don't know how to make wine, it's much more easier. So that was at the beginning of the 2000. And in the meantime, with this new producer, you had groups of small producers sharing ideas, sharing experience. And then comes the idea to say, oh, but we have a classification. We claim in Tokaj to be the oldest wine area in Europe, more or less at the same time with Porto. We have a classification of first growth, second growth, third growth, and all that is in the book. But who has the knowledge and telling the Saint Tamás is better than New Laszlo 10, 15 years ago, it was not an offer. So what István was doing to try to understand what István represents for the Tokaj producer is somebody that he have an influence on the producer, but he also have influence on the consumer. That for many years, everybody was looking after what he's doing. He's doing in this direction, he's turning in the other direction. And that was very helping to give direction for the people who don't knew where to go and what to do. So that's more or less what's the situation.
What would you eat with the dry Tokaj that you make, the dry wine? What would you eat with that wine?
For me, the dry wine are wine for the aperitifs. They are wine that you don't have to make a ceremony. That maybe for the asu, for the sweet, is a bit more complex. That for the ferment, it's easy to open. Can go to many food.
It seems like there have been vintages that gave you a lot of azu berries, and there have been vintages that haven't. What are some of the standout vintages for you, either because they were so difficult or because they were so successful since you started in 2000?
Every vintage is a big challenge to have the azu berries, because first what we need is some berries that are mature enough. And it's best to have mature grapes in September instead of November, because we know that in November the winter is coming, and the time to pick the berries, even if it's okay, it will be very short. So what we need and what we are working for is to have mature grapes, I would say middle of September, end of September. That's the best situation. Sometimes we can have mature grapes earlier, due to our very early flowering season. We can have a flower in May, so we can have mature grapes at the middle of August, even a bit earlier. If we have some rain, we can start to have some botrytis in August. So it's something that is not so usual, but that's happened in 2003, that's happened in 2007, and in 2000... I remember on the 8th of August, I was already eating some azu berries in Tolcsa. So it can happen. But usually what we are used to say and to like, to appreciate, on usually the harvest is from 10th, 15th of October, and we try to finish more or less on the 10th or 15th of November. That more or less when we have the weather, which is not so hot and it's not a deep winter, and then we can pick the berries. And but it's really due to the climatic situation when we have the mature grapes. And that the evolution can vary from 1 to 10, depending on the humidity, depending the rain. The rain are very, very important. In the recent years, 2013, perfect for azu berries. It was just very nice. But if we go a bit back, it was more or less four years that we were close. We had the mature berries, but we didn't have any botrytis. Or maybe the frost came too early. It was not enough rain. So that's it's something that we don't have any influence. We just we are in the position, wait and see, and that's all. And then when we see that a change happen, we can say, okay, we can prepare ourselves. And but it's very, very final improvisation. I used to say that I'm a wine grower until 1st of September, and after I'm a wine picker until the end of the harvest. And depending on the decision, driving a harvest in Tokai is totally different than any other place in the world. You don't have plan. You change your plan twice a day. Everybody can change at 6 o'clock in the morning every day. You can have something perfect, but you decide to pick the berries and you call the person and everything. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, something happened, nobody come. So that's quite often also. It's quite a long harvest. Comparing to other wine area, it's not unusual that we are picking the, depending on the harvest, but usually we are picking months and a half. So not every day, of course, but it's something that's, it's quite very long. And one thing that's probably due to the climate or the variety, but something that very surprised me every year, we have a mature grapes, I would say, in the 15th of September. And these berries, if we don't have frost, they can stay in the same situation until the beginning of November. Usually, when you have a ripe Chardonnay or a ripe Sauvignon Blanc or Semillon, when it's ripe and you have it's not for, you cannot expect to have that grapes a month later in the same situation. In Tokai, it's quite very common.
It seems also that the élevage for these wines is quite long in terms of the dry wine staying in wood for 6 years and the Azu and Essencia wines being aged for quite a bit of a long time before release. What's it like to really design a wine for almost a decade later?
If you see Tokai characteristic, we have the volcanoes, we have the variety, we have the climate, continental, we have all of that that's above. But below, we have cellars. That's more or less the key to produce Tokai. That we have a specific vinification. We pick the berries. We do maceration. But after, we have to age the wine in barrels for at least 2 years, 3 years, on a very specific cellar that we have, Cladosporium cellarae, on their wall. And it's a kind of symbiosis between the wine and the fungus. The wine is with alcohol, and you have a kind of evaporation of the alcohol, and the alcohol gives the carbon structure to the fungus. In exchange, the fungus maintain a high humidity. And that situation give a kind of desalcoholization for the wine, which is quite very appropriate for the dry Samorny. For the Azu, it's something that can be very expensive because you can imagine that you make your Azu wine and your Azu wine finish the fermentation. But if you have a decrease of alcohol, you will have a restart of fermentation, reducing the sugar, and then you are losing your, at the end, the evaporation of alcohol is reducing your sugar. Because the sugar transformed to alcohol, a re-fermentation. So that's the situation we have, and that's why it's important to have dry Samorny in your cellar, because then the alcohol is coming mainly from the dry Samorny and not from the Azu. So that's, in my understanding, for Tokai, dry Samorny, if you see an arc, is really the stone that stabilizes everything. And if you don't have that, in somehow you are producing something that you don't know what is the destination of the product. Or the other solution is you say no more Azu berries, no more sweet wine, and you pick all your harvest in September. That's the two solutions. Is that why it's very, very, I'm very happy to have this result with this dry Samorny, because that's the insurance to have sweet wine in Tokai for a long term. That's very important.
Samuel Tinon, he's ensuring great wines for a long time at the Tinon Winery in Hungary. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Samuel Tinon of the Tinon Winery.
All Drink to That is hosted and produced by myself, Levy Dalton. Aaron Scala has contributed original pieces. Editorial assistance has been provided by Bill Kimsey. The show music was performed and composed by Rob Moose and Thomas Bartlett. Show artwork by Alicia Tenoyan. T-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and so much more, including show stickers, notebooks, and even gift wrap are available for sale if you check the show website, alldrinktothatpod.com. That's I-L-L, drinktothatpod.com, which is the same place you'd go to sign up for our email list or to make one of the crucially important donations that help keep this show operating. You can donate from anywhere using PayPal or Stripe on the show website. Remember to hit subscribe or to follow this show in your favorite podcast app, please. That's super important to see every episode. And thank you for listening.